Brahmacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopina Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai. Navadvipa Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai. Gangamai Jamuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvase Sisamivadi Paskachade Satarane Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvoitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha. So it is April 24th, 2013 in Abenteuer, Goloka, Germany, and I'm going to be looking at Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, Text 4. Dadati pratigrinati guyamakya kipritchati bhunkte bojayate chaiva sadvidim prittilakshanam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad, and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee. So it would always be nice to have our spiritual life go faster and easier, yes? Of course, sometimes, the other day, somebody was saying they wanted to slow it down because they were afraid they would get too ecstatic and then they wouldn't be able to do their material duties. Yes, somebody was saying that yesterday. If I have too much love of God, then maybe I'll be materially irresponsible, so I'm asking Krishna to slow it down. But most devotees ask how they can speed it up. Most people say, how can I accelerate my spiritual life? How can I make my spiritual progress go faster and easier? So, if we're going to look for the one thing, what's one thing we could do? Of course, there's many one things. What are some of the one things that we could do? Like a special key. Yes. Yes, that's what we're looking at today. And what else? What other one things could you say? Yes.
Eating a lot of Mahaprasadam.
Okay. That's interesting. Anything else? Especially sweets, right?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Distributing more books.
Distributing more books. Yes, Prabhupada says that Krishna will recognize the preacher. What else? Yes.
Chanting very attentively.
Chanting very attentively. Yes, according to Madhurya Kadambini, that's a master key. Chanting attentively. Yes?
Make all decisions based on whether this will please my spiritual master or not.
Ooh. So make all decisions based on will this please my spiritual master or not. Very nice. Yes?
Spend time at holy places.
Yes, time in holy places. Yes.
Always attention to Bhagavatam class.
Always attention to my Bhagavatam. Okay. Not just attend, I assume.
No, attentive.
Attentive attention. Attentive attendance. Okay. Attentive attention in attendance. Yes.
Association of advanced devotees.
Association with advanced devotees, which is also what we're talking about today. So there's many master keys. There's not only one. That's nice, isn't there? Okay, there's of course five most potent items of devotional service, and one of them is sadhu sangha, one of them is association with devotees. And that's the one we're going to look at today. So this is one of those things, you get this right, and everything else falls into place. Right? Because it becomes very difficult if you want to say, okay, I gotta do this right, and I gotta do this right, and I gotta do this right, and I gotta do this right. It becomes overwhelming. Huh? Am I talking too fast?
No.
Can you all follow me?
Yeah.
Can you follow me? Yeah, okay. Anybody having a problem?
Yeah, I just realized I got back to my regular speed. Every other day I was speaking very slowly. Can you all, it's okay? The speed I've been going?
The speed is okay.
It's okay. Yeah.
It's slower than London.
Huh?
It's still slower than London.
It's still slower than I speak in London, huh? You should hear how I speak in America. All right. So there's two interesting, I think, revolutionary, fascinating, intriguing sentences in this purport. One of them is, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges between the devotees. So Srila Prabhupada is giving the exchanges between devotees as a reason for establishing ISKCON. And in fact, in the seven purposes, one of the purposes is said to bring the members closer to each other. We sometimes quote this when we ask people to move closer to the speaker and make room in the temple room. And Prabhupada also says, the life of the Krishna conscious society is nourished by these six types of loving exchange amongst the members. So how we're dealing with other devotees is one of the purposes of this society. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Why have a society? Why not just everybody go in their own home and practice Krishna consciousness? So it must be one of the purposes of the society is not just, you know, okay, we're all going to go to Krishna together, but we're all going to also be with each other. And this is what nourishes our Krishna conscious society. If we want our Krishna conscious society to be healthy, then these six loving exchanges are what creates that health. I'd say that it's what creates the S in ISKCON. Otherwise, we've been very successful at the ICON, International Krishna Consciousness. I think we've been fairly successful with that. And we have yet to be fairly successful with the ISKCON, with the International Society. I see that this is one of our big struggles. So what's the benefit for ourselves of having good fellowship with devotees? Someone can suggest some benefit. Yes?
Protection.
Definitely protection. In what way?
In all regarding devotional living.
So when you're associating with other devotees, it's a lot harder to get way off track, unless it's the devotees who get you way off track, but that's another discussion. But you have some, not for today, so you have some peer pressure, and hopefully it's positive peer pressure. We do have to admit we've had examples in this, and I'm sure we still do, of negative peer pressure. Pressure from the devotees actually to do the wrong thing. But we do have some pressure from the other devotees to do the right thing. And sometimes we may find this even annoying, that, okay, I'm doing things because everybody else is watching me. But it is a kind of protection. You know, if all of a sudden you came to the temple with purple spiked hair and, you know, somebody would say something. Someone would say, are you okay? Whereas if you're out in the world, perhaps nobody would say that. What's another reason for fellowship with devotees? Yes?
So if you're not making friendships with the devotees, then you're looking for friends anywhere.
Yes, because Prabhupada says we are social beings. We are social beings. There's in the Bhagavatam, in the story of Narada Muni being a Gandharva, and it says that as a Gandharva, he was very well respected by the other demigods. And I remember there was a class on this when I was in Atlanta, and we were discussing this idea of wanting to be accepted. And this concept that we're always saying, please accept me as your servant. And that we're social beings. To say, we're not going to care what anyone else thinks of us, we're not going to care about being accepted, we're not going to care about having friends, doesn't work very much. Of course, you have the example of Bharat Maharaj, who gave up his family and everything, and then he made friendship with a deer. Any other benefits? Yes?
Inspiration.
Yes. And I've written down two kinds of inspiration. One is inspiration in faith. So I was just reading where Prabhupada was saying that all of our advancement in Krishna consciousness is a matter of faith. That's one way you can measure advancement or talk about advancement, that it's degrees of faith. So what's one way we get faith? I see other devotees who are more advanced than I am, and I think, oh, that looks good. I want that. Like this devotee last night who was saying, if I fall in love with Krishna, it will make me materially irresponsible, so I want to go more slowly. And I said, well, why don't you look at the examples of great devotees who fell in love with Krishna? Were they materially irresponsible? Perhaps sometimes. Well, we have to say sometimes they might have just suddenly left their family and gone off to the forest. But generally we see Srila Prabhupada is a very materially responsible person. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, a very materially responsible people. And that way we have some faith. Or I think myself, I was going through a very difficult time some years ago, and then I meditated on one devotee I know who was going through a much more difficult time, who actually had already gone through a much more difficult time in the same sort of thing, the same kind of difficulty, but multiplied by about 100 times. And he'd already gone through it. He'd already come out the other end. And I thought about him, and I thought, he's doing fine. He came out the other end, and both materially and spiritually, everything is fine for him. And by thinking about him, I thought, I don't really need to worry about this difficulty that I'm going through, that Krishna will take care of. It gave me a lot of faith. Or we see people who, you know, we associate with people who are really relishing chanting or really relishing their service in ways that are more advanced than we are. And we think, oh, if they can do it, I can do it. Yes? So definitely we get an increase in faith by proper association. I also feel we get inspiration in terms of attachment to Krishna. And we'll talk about this more in depth in a moment. Any other benefits that we get? Yes?
Lack of loneliness.
A lack of loneliness, yes. That's the social element that we have, a society with devotees, so we don't go for a society with our television set or a deer or the people at the local pub or whatever. Yes?
We enlighten each other about Krishna.
Mm. 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 Tushanticharamanticha. We get great satisfaction and bliss from this parasparam. Our godbrother Garuda Prabhu, he talked about how this, there were some scholars saying, where is the indication in the Shastra for a society of devotees? And he said this verse, parasparam. Parasparam means in the group. So we enlighten each other about Krishna. Of course, then we have to actually enlighten each other about Krishna. And I've noticed that many times when we get together, we don't do that. We, you know, darken each other with something other than Krishna instead of enlighten each other with Krishna. But certainly proper fellowship, we can also do that, give each other great satisfaction and bliss. Anything else? Yes?
Forever fresh, because there is nothing stagnierend. How you saw it? Stagnant. There's nothing stagnant among the devotees. It's always fresh.
Always fresh.
And it's always new.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. I've also thought about that having people's example, it's also another kind of inspiration, I suppose we could say, but having the template of other devotees. If you want to know how to do things, you can look at the example of other devotees. I had some extensive training in one kind of counseling and teaching system that had as its basic fundamental idea that people generally have their own knowledge within themselves that they can access as to what they should do. They said, but sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't have anything in your own experience to draw on. How do I do this? And then you can use others as a model. Now, this was one of the big problems that we had in the early days of our Hare Krishna movement, when our only elder in any respect was Srila Prabhupada. Not only was he the only elder Vaishnava, you know, I remember when I was considering marrying my husband and the devotee said, well, I don't know if you'll ever find such a senior devotee to marry, and he'd been in the movement for 3.5 years. So, you know, in terms of seniority in Krishna consciousness, there was only Prabhupada. In terms of seniority by age, there was only Prabhupada. Most of us were like, you know, 18 to 25. A few people maybe hovering around 30. In terms of experience in the world, you know, Srila Prabhupada had managed his own business and so many things and raised a family. The only elder was Srila Prabhupada. And so we didn't have a whole lot of templates. If you wanted to know, you know, how to be a good wife, or you wanted to know even how to chant nicely, who are you going to look at? You didn't have people around you to look at. And I know this really struck me in reading Bhagavatam in the early days before Prabhupada translated Chaitanya Charitamrita. I kept feeling in reading the Bhagavatam, I can't relate to these people. And I just couldn't relate to people who fly around the universe in mystic yoga airplanes. You know, I haven't done that, at least in this life, or that I can remember. I couldn't relate to it. You know, people give birth to snakes, and I mean, just like, it didn't have anything to do with my immediate life. People staying in the womb for 16 years, you know, I just... How do I use this as some sort of a model for myself? Of course, gradually, I was able to see the principles in the Bhagavatam that I could use as a model. But when Srila Prabhupada translated Chaitanya Charitamrita, I went, oh! It almost sounded like I was reading, you know, a newsletter from another ISKCON center. I said, okay, here are devotees that I can use as a template. So when we associate with devotees, we can see, oh, that's how they do it. Oh, that's how they do it. Oh, that's how they do it. And we can try on things as a model. Of course, then there's also the mystical, transcendent aspect that Krishna is pleased when we please his devotees. And any of us who are parents, we understand this very well, that if somebody criticizes our child, we're not going to like that person. It doesn't matter what other good qualities they have. And if they praise our child, we're going to like them. It doesn't matter what bad qualities they have. It's just the mentality of a parent. And you really know this if you ever teach children and you have to deal with their parents. So all you have to do to make an enemy is say, oh, your child has a problem in school, and forget about being friends with their parents anymore. So this is it's a real issue. But this is a natural mentality. Prabhupada says, love me, love my dog. So if we want to love Krishna, but we don't have affection for Krishna's devotees, we don't deal nicely with Krishna's devotees, Krishna's not going to be particularly interested in dealing with us. You know, if you have a lot of children, you may love all your children, but if one child hits the other child over the head with their toys, the child who's the hitter child will have to be separated from the other children. And also pleasing Krishna by cooperation. We think of the Prachetas, where Lord Vishnu came and he said, I'm very pleased with your cooperation. So there's a thing in the Bible like that also. Hini matovu manayam shevet ahim gam yahad. That how wonderful it is when brothers sit together in peace. So again, you know, in an ordinary family, the parents like it when the brothers and sisters are getting along. No parents like it when the brothers and sisters are fighting. And if you're in charge of a project, like even this teacher training course, if your students were fighting with each other, so it's not, you can't do anything, you can't progress. So Krishna also feels that way. I want to look particularly at the inspiration from other devotees to increase our attachment to Krishna. And here we're going to look at the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and the Nectar of Devotion. So there it's explained that there's five components of rasa. If we want to have rasa with Krishna, and rasa is it's hard to translate, Prabhupada talks about it as mellow. Rasa in Ayurveda is liquid. It's the taste of something. It's there's six rasas in food. There's sweet, salty, sour, bitter, pungent, and astringent. And we talk about rasa in drama, right? There's the rasa of fear and of grief and compassion and of love and, you know, different flavors. So in order to get this rasa with Krishna, there's five components. You have your sthi bhava, your basic relationship with Krishna as friend, lover, servant, etc. You have your emotions, your anubhav that you express in your actions. You have the vravichari bhavs, which are the transient changing emotions. You have the sattvika bhavs, which are the involuntary displays of emotions. And you have the vibhav. And the vibhav is what induces you to have rasa? What is it? Like if you eat a food, what is it that induces you in the food that induces you to experience this rasa? So, you know, there are food scientists. Did you know this? There are food scientists. And in fact, a lot of the food, or we should say so-called food, that is on the market is actually chemically and scientifically engineered by food scientists. Are you aware of this? So they study the exact crunch point. This is no joke. We like things that are crunchy because they indicate freshness. So, but it has to be an exact kind of crunchiness. They work it down, you know, exactly how much pressure your jaw needs to make it go crunch. And exactly the kind of texture. And there's certain combinations of crunch and texture and flavor. And they call this a sweet point. That's a combination of sugar, salt, and fat. That if you mix sugar, salt, and fat in a particular proportion, and then add a particular kind of crunch, then you can't stop eating it. You just want to keep eating more and more and more. And you also, there's a particular combination of chemicals where your satiation point is disabled. And so you'll just keep eating and eating and eating and eating, and you'll buy more and more of their product and make them rich. Not in good karma, but anyway. You'll make them rich temporarily on the planet. So there's also a science of rasa. What is it that stimulates the devotee to say, I want more and more and more and more and more? What is the sweet point? And that is called vibhava. So vibhava has two main divisions, and that is alambana and udipan. So in alambana, we're talking about the person in whom the love is directed and the person who is feeling that love. So one alambana is Krishna himself, the Vishaya. In other words, one sees, oh, there's Krishna. Oh, I feel this sort of emotion. I feel this sort of relationship. I want to do this service. I have these kind of symptoms just by seeing or smelling or touching or thinking about or meditating on Krishna in general. And then the other alambana is the ashraya. The ashraya are the other devotees who are experiencing love for Krishna. So when one thinks about, sees, talks about, contacts the devotees who are experiencing love for Krishna, that stimulates one's love for Krishna. It brings out the taste. Now, materially, this is certainly true. If you go to some sports game, so you're enthused both by the players on the field and by the other fans. The other fans are part of your experience, and they're part of what induces a particular taste. Isn't this true in general? Right? If you're watching a performance, so one of the most amazing performances, I talked about a lot because it was Ram Navami recently, but one of the most amazing performances I ever watched was the Ramayana when Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the audience. So part of the stimulation for my feelings towards Ram and Lakshman and Sita were coming from the actors. And part was coming from the fact that Srila Prabhupada was sitting about a meter in front of me. So Srila Prabhupada's feeling for the drama and Prabhupada's feelings for the actors influenced my feeling, as did all the other devotees in the theater. You know, if you're just sitting home alone watching it, it's not the same experience. Everybody's had this experience? It's quite different, you know, watching a drama alone and watching a drama in a group. So this is ashraya, the devotees. And in fact, we find at the higher stages of bhakti that one is not only serving Krishna in a particular rasa, but one is following a particular devotee, who has that same mood. And there's, of course, the general leaders like Lalita and Rupa Manjari and Sridham and Raktak and Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj. But then within there's also different leaders. So we find Nirottama Das Thakur, he's praying to Rupa Manjari. And we find Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he lists the different leaders of the persons in his diksha line, who they're inspired by. So one person is going to think, well, I'm really inspired by Madhu Mangal, or I'm really inspired by Raktak, or I'm really inspired by Nanda Maharaj, or I'm really... And the devotee, this is at the higher stages of sadhana bhakti, the devotee is not just meditating on Krishna, but the devotee is meditating on how this other devotee serves Krishna. What do they do? What's their mood? How do they fan Krishna? How do they talk to Krishna? How do they interact with Krishna? In this way, the devotees are also increasing our attachment for Krishna. Now, under this category of vibhav, not only are the devotees one of the alambanas, as the ashraya, but the devotees are also in the one of the udipans. So the udipans are the immediate stimulus. So you can think of Krishna totally as vishaya in alambana, but also Krishna's flute may be an udipan. Oh, I like Krishna's flute. Or Krishna's beauty. So Krishna is the ashraya, but Krishna's beauty is the udipan. Oh, Krishna is so beautiful. I want to serve him like this. And one of the udipans are the devotees. That when you see the devotees serving Krishna so nicely and serving Krishna in different ways. And Prabhupada talks about this in terms of competition. He says competition gives life. We do not have a current pop psychology model that nobody should ever compete with anybody. Everybody wins. I remember one time in our school we gave out awards. Actually, we did this every year. We would give out awards to the children in different categories, and we always made it part of the Christmas marathon. So when the temple devotees were getting awards for book distribution, the children got awards for, you know, spelling and mass and things like that, so they could feel that their service in the school was also being acknowledged by the community. So many times children would get more than one award, and sometimes the parents would call us up and say, how come so-and-so got 5 awards and my child only got 3? You know? Or why didn't my child get the award for cleanliness? Isn't she clean enough for the award? So not that kind of competition, not that kind of envious, malicious competition, but inspiring competition where you see, oh, look, those devotees have done something nice for Krishna. Let me do something nice for Krishna. I was recently in New Vrajdam, Hungary, and I got to look at Shiva Ramarja's new book, Part 1, which is 4 books, each book like, you know, 600 pages long, beautifully done with gold. I mean, it was just like, wow. It was just half. And I looked at it and thought, I've got to do something for Srila Prabhupada in my life too. Okay. So that's this idea of udipan, that the devotees inspire us and they invoke our love for Krishna. So both as the particular devotee that we follow and the particular devotees that have the kind of love for Krishna that inspires us, and in general, all the devotees. And then we're just going to look, now we're going to move from the nectar devotion back to the nectar of instruction at the verse we started the class with. And how do we associate with devotees? How do we get all these wonderful benefits, both in Vaidhi Bhakti and in Raghunuga Bhakti, at every stage of our development and in bhakti, to have these benefits from the devotees? So this is given in these 6 loving exchanges, which of course are really in 3 categories, which are?
Prasadam.
Gifts. And? And sharing the confidences. And in each of them, there's a giving and taking. Now, I'm sure you've noticed that some of us are a lot better at giving and some of us are a lot better at taking. You know, some people are very hesitant to take because they think, well, I don't want to take anything from anybody. That's not very humble. And I remember once my husband said to me, being willing to take means you admit that you can't do it all yourself. You know, that I need others. I remember one of my godbrothers also who said, I don't take anything from ISKCON, I only give. And I thought, that's not right. Something's wrong with that model. You know, one should feel I need the other devotees. Actually, I'm not self-sufficient like God. I mean, even Krishna feels he needs the other devotees. Even the deity, he's feeling, if you don't feed me, I'll be hungry. That's Krishna's mood. In fact, the devotee, I heard one devotee recently say to me, well, you know, with the cows, if you don't feed them, they'll starve, but with the deities, if you don't feed them, he'll still go on. I thought, that's not right. That's not the proper mood of the devotees. So Krishna's feeling, I'm needing the devotees. Where are my devotees to take care of me? One of my god sisters, who Prabhupada gave deities of Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra, and when her husband took sannyas, he said, make Jagannath your husband, Balaram your son, and Subhadra your daughter. She said, unfortunately, I didn't follow that advice, but anyway. So she was taking care of these deities, and she said one time she was late with the offering, and when she came to the deities, Balaram had moved down two steps on the altar. You know, where's my food? So anyway, that even Krishna has this mood of feeling dependent on the devotees. So both this giving and taking is an essential part of Krishna consciousness. All right, let's look. We don't have a whole lot of time because I'm leaving in a few minutes. But let's look at prasadam. I think that's the easiest. Most of us don't have a problem with giving and taking prasadam. But how do we give and take prasadam? Yes?
In the mood of service.
What does that mean exactly? What does that look like?
For example, if I serve somebody prasadam, be attentive to what they actually want.
Oh, that would be nice now, wouldn't it? So, of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. Of course, he did give people a larger quantity than they could eat. After the passing of Haridas Thakur, Mahaprabhu was serving the prasadam, and he was giving everybody what 10 people can eat, so Swarup Damodar had to ask him to sit down. He said, you're giving everyone too much. Well, he also asked him to sit down because he said, Lord, until you eat, nobody's going to eat. They're just going to stare at their plates. But he did give people a lot, but he did also gave everyone exactly what they liked. Of course, as the super soul, he knows what they liked. That also indicates, of course, that when people are liberated souls, they have likes and dislikes. Yes? One time at a festival, I remarked to one of the devotees, this is wonderful prasadam, she said. All prasadam is wonderful. So even the liberated souls, they have likes and dislikes, or what's the meaning of personality? We believe in personality, at least in theory, yes? So if we have personality, that means we like something more than something else. Yes? So therefore, when serving prasadam, it's nice to find out what people like. Sometimes when you serve prasadam, it's just, you know, how did that get on my plate? You know, what am I going to do with this? So to serve people what they like, how much they're going to eat, to serve with respect. And part of the serving, I used to be in charge of the Janmashtami serve out, and I required that the servers make their own plates up first. Because otherwise I found that they were rather stingy with some of the preps. Because they were thinking, I really like this prep. I want to make sure some of it's left for me. So, serving prasadam with faith that I will also be taken care of. And what about receiving prasadam? Oh, I can think about another thing about serving prasadam. There's one place I go to in the world where they consider that I need 15 people to serve me prasadam. And they're all watching everything that I eat. I feel like I'm a lion in the zoo at feeding time. So I feel like I'm on display. So also with serving prasadam, to have a congenial atmosphere where a person can digest properly. Can you imagine? 15 people all standing around you serving you prasadam and watching everything you eat. Are you eating what I cooked? It's true, really true. I'm not making this up. And I'm not exaggerating either. What about taking prasadam? Yes.
But it's great to be grateful.
With gratitude, yes. And meditating on what? What should one meditate on while one takes prasadam?
It was touched by the lips of the Lord.
Touched by the lips of the Lord. Yet a taste of the Lord. So here I have a quarrel with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in Madhuri Kadambini, that at prema, only the devotees in Sringara Ras get the taste of the Lord. So, I would. Someday, when I meet him, I will discuss this with him and say, wait a minute. Doesn't everyone get the taste of the Lord in prasadam? So, with great respect, and with respect here, because this is about fellowship with devotees. So, respect not just for the prasadam and Krishna, but for the server and for the cook. So not just that I get in line and the person behind the spoon disappears. You know, I'm only interested in the spoon and what's on the spoon. But with also respect for the person behind the spoon, both in the serving line and in the kitchen. So let's go on to gifts. So what kind of gift should we give?
Books.
Prabhupada talks about this in the purport. Books and the holy name. He says this is the primary gift, books and the holy name. What other gifts should we give?
It could be prasadam also.
Yes, but that's a different category, so let's have gifts other than prasadam. Yes?
One would give time.
Ooh, I like that. Thank you. That is just lovely. The best gift my father gave me was time. So although my father was a very big man in the world, he was the CEO of a big international company, he gave me 2 hours every morning from the time I was two until I went to college. He was a CEO. He was also president of his local temple. It wasn't a Hare Krishna temple, but still temple president. He was a busy man. But every morning he gave me 2 hours, and he really purchased my heart from that. When I got Gayatri Mantra from Prabhupada, my father gave Prabhupada a check for a life membership, and Prabhupada said, good father, good daughter. And that was the main thing that he gave me. Although my father was a very wealthy man, he didn't give me a lot of things, but he gave me his time, and that really, it forged a deep relationship between us. So also, I think sometimes as far as accepting gifts, that accepting this gift of time is something that we could do a lot more of in our Hare Krishna movement. I see that we very rarely understand that time is as valuable, if not more valuable, a gift than money. We will put up plaques for those who give money, but what about those who give time? So if a person could earn 30 euros an hour, for example, or 50 euros an hour, and they give an hour of their time, isn't that the same as giving 50 euros? Yes, in one place we will not mention, there was a plaque put up to a departed devotee who gave a lot of time. And one leader was objecting and saying, how can we put up a plaque to this devotee who gave their time? And I said, but look at all the plaques in the same temple for people who gave their money. And many of those people, we don't even know what their personal life was like. We don't even know what kind of person they are. But there may be some huge plaque this big for money. So people giving their time and their expertise, that's valuable. You know, we have a voluntary society. Prabhupada said, be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. And many of our members have a wealth of expertise and knowledge and experience that if they were to charge for their time and their expertise, would be charging thousands and thousands and thousands of euros. You know, we have many people who out in the world, giving that same knowledge and time, could easily charge, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 euros a day. So to receive this gift of people's time with appreciation. What else about giving gifts? Any other thoughts on giving gifts or receiving gifts? Yes.
I'm not sure about that one, but in general, also if you have like your name day or birthday, or you know, celebrate the small things that you know win the heart of the person.
So look for opportunities to have gift giving for different special days. Celebration is a very much part of Krishna's culture in the spiritual world. It says every day is a festival. I'd say also give gifts that people want and they can use. Ask them what they want. So, you know, recently someone gave me a glass bottle of olive oil. Is that odd for somebody living out of a suitcase? You know, I said, I don't have a kitchen. You know, what am I going to do, drink the olive oil? Carry around a glass bottle on an airplane? You know, just. So this is very common that we give people gifts that, you know, aren't in relationship to them and their needs and their life circumstances. We may give them something that's very inappropriate. And, you know, you try to appreciate the thought, but this is the whole idea of bhakti. Right? Anukuyena Krishna Anushilanam. You do things that will please Krishna. You don't give Krishna things that he doesn't like. So the same with the devotees. This is about a relationship means you get to know the person somewhat.
Interest.
Some interest, exactly. Otherwise, one really wonders what the gift is all about. So I had another situation in India where someone gave me a gift of a towel set, you know, like this big, all these. And I'm thinking again, you know, what does a traveling person do with this big towel set that would fill up half of my suitcase? And it was just very odd. So we get these kind of gifts. I'm sure all of us have gotten gifts like this, yes? That you get some gift and you look at it and you think, what am I going to do with this? you know, who do they think I am? And in receiving gifts, of course, even if it's very inappropriate, you try to receive it with grace. And the last, we have just a couple minutes, is revealing our mind in confidence. So this should be this Trishyanticha, Ramanticha. We should have discussions that enliven one another. Revealing one's mind in confidence doesn't mean that I go to everyone and tell you, oh, I'm in this much Maya and this much Maya, and I just thought about this nonsense and that nonsense. And, you know, it's not that revealing our mind in confidence means I have to take whatever rubbish is in my mind and throw it at your feet, you know, in the name of truth-telling, or we have in it, or gossiping, you know, or saying anything I think about anybody else in the movement in the name of revealing my mind and truthful. But it should be the austerities of speech, which we don't have much time to talk about now, but they are? What are these? Truthfulness. Make sure it's true. Don't repeat things that you don't know are true. You know, it's actually on the Bible, the seven deadly sins. It said six the Lord hates and the seventh he despises, and what he despises, bearing false witness against your neighbor. So don't say things that aren't true. Find out whether or not they're true. And another one. Yes? Yes, that one's speech should not be harsh. We were talking about that the other day. That one's way of speaking should be pleasing. Generally, that's not an absolute one. Otherwise, the Shastra wouldn't say hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. So there may be some times when heavy language is required, but generally, pleasing language. Yes? Yes?
Keeping confidence.
Keeping confidence. Okay, but that's not one of the austerities of speech. But it's good. Yes?
Pleasing.
The content should be pleasing. The message should be pleasing. In former times, bearers of good news were rewarded and bearers of bad news were punished. And if you think about that, what would that do to a society? You wouldn't gossip much, would you? You'd be hesitant to give people bad news. Interesting, huh? But sometimes bad news has to be given. So that's also not an absolute one. So the content should be pleasing. Sometimes you may have to say, you're an illusion. What can be done? Okay, other two. Yes?
Talking only about Krishna?
Yes, speaking, regularly reciting the Vedas. Regularly reciting the Vedas. And the last one, which as far as I understand is the most important, is what we say should be beneficial. It should help somebody. I can say something that's truthful with pleasing words, and it can even be based on the Vedas, and it can have pleasing content, but it doesn't help you. You know, oh, how can I get along better with my wife? Well, when Krishna showed the universal form, he was crushing all the soldiers in his teeth. It's like, what good does that do for me? How does that benefit? You know, so our speaking should be beneficial. So when we reveal our mind, it should be in a way that's true. It should be with pleasing language, pleasing content, based on Krishna. And it should be ways that benefit ourselves and others. And I should listen to people's confidences in ways that benefit them also. So again, this is a whole science. How to speak and listen in ways that elevate people. Not just listen to somebody, oh, well, that's a stupid idea, I have that idea. Oh, you think you have problems? Well, I have more problems. Or I know what you should do this. Yes, yeah, so in receiving confidences, how to receive confidences in a way that people feel enlightenment, that people feel encouraged, that they are actually benefited. And what happens when we have unloving exchanges? What happens when we don't have proper fellowship with devotees? Then our international society, instead of being nourished, it
destroyed.
It withers. I don't know about destroyed. You may still have the ikon. But it withers. It withers. And we find it much more difficult to please Krishna. He's like, okay, well, thanks for the incense, but what about how you're treating the other devotees? And we will find it hard to awaken our love for Krishna. So if we want to be inspired by others' faith, if we want to be inspired by others' attachment, if we want others' example, if we want to please Krishna, if we want to have nice association, then we should meditate on how we can relate with the devotees in these three simple ways, through prasadam, through gifts, and through confidences. Of course, this is we could discuss most of this in far more depth, but at least we can meditate on every day. It's something that we should have on our list of things. How can I have my fellowship with devotees in such a way that will increase my and their faith and inspiration and please Krishna and Prabhupada. So I have to end here because the train will not wait for me. Thank you very much. All glories to you.